Welcome to our Ayurvedic food prep day. How exciting, food prep day, the Ayurvedic way. The first thing I really want to say about this does not replace any sort of medical attention or anything like that. This is completely outside the scope of anything medicinal. And of course, if your doctor is telling you something that is different than what I'm telling you or what I'm sharing with you, which is just general information to share without having any kind of background on your personal health, then you want to yield to your physician, of course. So disclaimer set out and forward, let's kind of think about it. Let's think about why Ayurveda is being embraced more and more these days when it's a very, very old teaching. And essentially, it's one of the most ancient medicines, if you will. And some folks will say, oh, I don't know if I believe in Ayurveda. And that's okay. You know, they can be there. That's fine. But I would suggest that our pharmaceuticals are generally plant or foodstuff based, right? So if you go to your physician and they give you a prescription, in all probability, you can trace it back to something that at one point or another grew from the earth into some combination or concoction thereof. So it would then stand to reason that our bodies respond on a chemical level to the things we ingest. Right? And that's kind of common knowledge. I think we all learned that in like elementary school, like you are what you eat, all of these little catchphrases, things they say, and so on. So how our foodstuffs impact us, our disposition, our moods, in this case today, we'll refer to this idea as our doshas, and you can refer to it another way if you like. But doshas is the word I've chosen today to highlight for the purpose of sharing the idea. So essentially, we get all of these one-off news flashes, like, oh, eat grapefruit, it's good for this, it'll solve all your problems, just eat grapefruit, right? And then they change from week to week, or month to month, or year to year, and there's always something sort of new. You know, at one point, it was St. John's wort, I think was really, in my recollection, really like when people were starting to look to holistic, alternative medicinal things. And because we went kind of a little far off the cliff on that thing, there was quite a bit of backlash on the St. John's wort thing. You know, too much of anything, even be good thing, is no longer a good thing, and so on. So again, that idea of balance, we're going to address and readdress the idea of balance again and again today. So for those of you that have been in one of my Ayurvedic workshops before, then hopefully this is a chance for you to kind of dive a little deeper, come to a point of mastery or working towards mastery and so on, and even reflect, is this a workshop that I myself am now prepared to offer? Because the idea really is I share with you, then you make it your own, you add your own truths, and then you share it with the next person and so on. And so that's what I aim to do. So it's all well and good for people to come up with, like, eat kale. Well, I don't know about you, but when my kale comes, I have about 24 hours to consume a giant thing of kale, right? You don't have long. And unless I want to grocery shop each day, which I don't. Actually, I don't even really care for grocery shopping. I love having, so I have food delivery service, which is nice, you know. Right now I'm using Aldi for $5.99. They will bring it to my door within an hour, which is just fantastic. I spend more of that in line waiting, usually on candy. So I justify the expense that way. Oh yes, get me in front of the candy aisle and everything I'm about to say to you is out the window entirely. I also really like ugly produce, imperfect produce. And the idea behind this, and they do have organic vegetables as well, but the idea is, you know, we go to the grocery store and it needs to look a certain way in order for the store to accept it. And if it doesn't, then it gets thrown out. And that's a big part of our carbon footprint and how we're leaving this earth for the next guy. And, you know, some folks are like, oh, that's so far away in the future. And I would suggest that it might not be quite as far in the future as we might think, particularly for our loved ones. So we want to be responsible with the planet. So I like the imperfect produce. It's nice. They'll just come up with a list. They'll drop off a box of random produce for me. If I need to place an order because I know I'm doing something special or I know I'm doing food prep, then I'll go in and I'll order what I like and then they bring that to me. I'm not an affiliate of these companies. I don't get anything for you guys signing up or registering or anything like that. I really actually try and avoid that just so that I think it lends credibility that this is what I do. You find what works for you. But I do think that there's a realistic component and the prompting for food prep day of what I've just said and how to fit that into our busy lives, right? Like, how do we fit that into our busy lives? So, you know, for those of us that are, you know, have family obligations and, you know, maybe full-time career, maybe more than one job, whatever it may be, fill in the blank, right? Maybe we're a student, we're just trying to get everything done. It can be very unrealistic to try and follow a holistic food approach, which is food prep day, right? So when the kale comes, then I put it through my food saver and I toss it in the fridge, and then I take half and I toss it in the freezer. Will I lose some nutrients? Yeah. Is it better than my Taco Bell bean burrito? I'll take it, right? So I think it's, again, this approach of when folks are like, oh, don't even bother if you're not gonna drink your juice within 20 minutes of juicing. It's just a waste of time. I challenge that idea. And that, yes, it is optimal to drink your juice after juicing, fresh juice, within 20 minutes of juicing. How many of us can really pull that off on a regular basis? You know, so again, I think finding that middle ground, much as our approaches here in the studio, even with our Asana practice, isn't so much on this extreme end, but rather how can I do just a little bit better with my dietary intake than I'm currently doing and have it be sustainable over a lifetime, right? Which really brings me to the word diet. So diet is often considered a verb. It's a thing we're doing. We're going to go on a diet. We're going to eat this for this period of time for whatever reason that we're going to do it. And honestly, you know, I have a background. I've worked for Jenny Craig for many years. I've been in the fitness industry for absolutely ever. And I can say that I've yet to see a diet work long term. Not one. And as you guys know, I really deal with many people. I tend to have a large field of people. I always have. It's, you know, one of the things I enjoy about life, and I always have. And so if you went through the numbers, and I would say scores, hundreds, thousands even, right? I don't know of one person that went on a diet and went off a diet and didn't go right back to where they were, or worse yet. And there's reasons for that, and it has to do with the chemical makeup of our body and the responsiveness of our body. And this is where it starts to get really cool when we tie this in with food prep day and we tie this in with Ayurveda. How do we achieve balance? We take the word diet and we treat it, it is meant to be. What is my diet? That's a lifetime. That's over the course of a lifetime. What does my diet look like? Michelle's diet is largely composed of whole foods, right? With a side of candy from time to time. And if I run quickly enough, I can avoid the pretzel with the fake cheese. Now, here's the thing. It used to be that wherever I went, if there was a pretzel with the fake cheese, because that is my Achilles heel, let me tell you, it is. Love that. Like, I can lick the container. It's really something to see. But it used to be whenever those fake cheese and pretzels or nachos were around, it was a special occasion. I would have it, I would enjoy it, and that was fine. But now I'm going more places and I'm doing more things, and it seems as though these pretzels and cheese has really taken off in popularity and is everywhere I go, and now being part of my regular diet. So I observed this, and then I realized, well, maybe from time to time, I'll have my pretzel with cheese. I'm not looking to take away that forever, right? But on the other side of things, I could have a pretzel and cheese every single day. And the problem with that is then my taste buds respond to it, and that's what my taste buds want. Your taste buds want what you're used to. Going back to this idea of the body, as we keep circling back to these main ideas throughout this workshop, right? Our body is going to respond to what we do, our environment. We're exceptional in that way as humans and other animals on the planet and so on. So we continue to thrive regardless of what we intake. So if I want to live on pretzels and cheese, my body will adjust and sort and will survive poorly in a sickly fashion, I would imagine, on pretzels and cheese. If I take away pretzels and cheese and I don't eat them for a good long time, which has happened, when I do come across pretzels and cheese, I'm like, I'm gonna do it, extra salt. I'm finding I don't really like it anymore. Isn't that funny? A lifetime of pretzels and cheese kind of undone at about 18 months, which began with my path and my knowledge of Ayurveda. When I started to look at food a different way, starting off and working at Jenny Craig and coming from that mindset, which they do definitely do have like a lifelong maintenance plan in that way, so I'll give them some kudos and props that way. But the mindset really is about being thin, losing weight, changing your body. You know, that's essentially speaking for another company, at least at the point I was back in the 90s, that was their business model. And I would suggest that I'm looking to eat to feed and nourish for energy, right? And health and vitality. And that's what I'm looking to do. So pretzels and cheese do not really align with those nutritional goals. So the first thing that's really nice is it doesn't suggest that I need to change my body and I'm somehow bad because I ate a pretzel and cheese and I'm never gonna meet my physical goals, right? Rather, I really just want to feel good, and I find when I eat whole foods that I do. There's some other concepts there too that are out there, stories I've heard for people in the industry, let's say, that have gone gluten-free for a time and then found they were okay with gluten. And there's some medical studies that you can research and dive deep if you're interested in this that suggests that when the immune system is low or compromised, that things like gluten will aggravate it and irritate it and cause problems. But then if we can come back and do something about that immune system and boost that and get that back to that balanced level, there's our balance word again, right? That suddenly, bless you, not that I'm qualified to do so, but my heart is in it, right? Gluten. Then suddenly they're fine and they can eat gluten after all, right? So there's medical backings on a nutritional, dietitianal level. And I'm not a dietitian, so I can't really speak to that beyond what I've witnessed from the people in my circle. And I do see a pattern forming there. And that makes a lot of sense to me. So when you see the flashy news on the headlines, like, oh, this just in, you know, that I saw a picture this week of a grape, or no, it was an avocado. The one food doctors are warning you to stop eating forever. Shred it. Unfollow, really? Because there isn't one food that we need to stop or start eating forever. There isn't one. We're a complex bag of chemical reactions at the base of our physical body contained within skin, right? And so that being said, perhaps there is something happening with folks living on avocados. I don't know. But if you see the news, the headline that looks that way, dismiss that, because it tends to bring people off track. So what we are trying to aim to do is move to a more whole food-based diet where possible. And we're gonna use the tool of Food Prep Day to help us do that. When needed, we're gonna put it in plastic. Do I love plastic? No. Do I prefer glass mason jars? Yes. Does sometimes the food end up in the plastic so I can freeze it? You betcha. It's still better than the bean burrito or the pretzel with cheese, you know? So just, can I do a little better? Can I spend an hour a week to lay down the foundation of my meal plan for the following week without being scientific? I definitely personally don't weigh food. I don't count calories. I don't do any of those things. Some people do, some people like that. I don't. I enjoy my relationship with food. I pretty much eat what I want for the most part, but have found over time that I prefer things that are nutritious and whole food and have abundance and flavor because they're fresh, and so they're by default become what I want. And that's really the goal of where we can get ourselves so there's not this tug of war in food. So there's a few recipes that I picked out. And, you know, much like anything else I do, I wouldn't say that my presentation on this Ayurvedic recipes that we'll go through is necessarily a purist version, right? Because a purist version would suggest you never mix fruits and vegetables, right? So that's like a fundamental concept in Ayurveda. And while I'm aware of it, I do believe that it can be kind of a stretch to pull that off. And then there's another side to that where we try so hard to follow a diet, and this would be like, you know, the Atkins diet or the keto diet. The reason I don't subscribe to these isn't because they don't work, but it's because the probability of the average person being able to follow that diet to a T is very small, very unlikely. And then also be able to maintain it over time, even more unlikely yet, which is why when we see a superstar, you know, splash across the headlines, like this person's in keto, look at the difference, here's the before, there's the after, and so on, you know, what resources do they maybe have at their disposal that perhaps you do not? Which might be a dietitian, which might be a cook, which might be a, like, here, eat this. Like, I would do great with that. If you just delivered up what I needed to eat 3 times a day, got it, check, that'd be fantastic. But for most of us, it probably isn't very realistic. So I picked some recipes that maybe some of my nutrition friends would drop their jaw over. There's pasta involved in today's recipes. But again, not so much giving up what we love to eat, but can we take what we love to eat and make it a little better, right? Could I make my pretzel from scratch at home, right, with maybe a higher quality flour and such, and a homemade cheese and a little fondue sort of thing, and maybe add in some fruit and vegetables. Like, this could be a thing I do. How nice is that? Versus, you know, the ballpark, that sort of thing. This can be challenging, but I do believe with a little bit of preparation and mindfulness, it can become easy. You may find the biggest obstacle, I know I have, is the people in my life are basically annoyed by this. You know, like, oh, she doesn't eat meat. Oh, we gotta find a salad. Yeah, I don't care. So there, I've said it. I don't really care. Because I'm eating towards wellness and my whole body experience, and I know that I have these health goals, and I believe that if I wanna work towards balance, whether it be on a physical level within my body, emotionally, spiritually, fill in the blank on all the whys, why we do these things, you know, I believe that food is such a source for that. And that would be why people that have like an addiction to opiates are so incredibly out of balance. But remember, again, these pharmaceuticals are plant-based. So what does that suggest? If we don't eat a well-rounded diet over the course of our life, we're more apt to have emotional roller coasters, hormonal imbalances, chemical reactions within the body on a cellular level. And I'm such a science geek, you know, I love that kind of stuff, super nerdy that way. So when we start to learn about this more and more, we could start to see why this food might imply that behavior, right? And if you can wrap your head around that just long enough to entertain me for a couple of hours that this workshop is, then at the end we'll do the food prep thing and I'll show you some tips on how to make that realistic and accessible for you. Sound good? Yep. All right. So first things first, overnight oats. I created 3 recipes, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and 1 for each dosha, the vata, the pitta, and the kapha. So everybody has something to take away a little bit. So the first one is breakfast for our vata friends. Not to say we can't all benefit from this. Steel cut oats. Now, if you just don't like steel cut oats and you just can't find yourself embracing that, then go ahead and go with the rolled oats. Try for the organic, pay the extra 30 cents for the giant container for something a little bit more high end. I like Aldi. I really like Aldi. Aldi food is just a step under Trader Joe's, but owned by the same company, and I'll take it. Definitely, certainly much more pocket friendly. Sliced almonds, strawberries, blueberries. So knowing when to buy organic if you're on a budget. Obviously it's easy for people to say, you need to eat organic. It's like a $900 a month food bill. Some of us have it and some of us don't. So we do want to then selectively decide what does make the organic cut, and blueberries would be one of it. I would suggest, and this is my own personal opinion, that this largely has to do with blueberries are basically delicate in nature, right? So because it's delicate in nature, it can be a little bit more challenging to farm, right? And if we think about, like, if we're a farmer, let's pretend we're a farmer. Let's take away the judgment of the chemicals and all of that. And let's say we're all blueberry farmers and we're just trying to earn a living and, you know, put our kids through school, ourselves through school, selling blueberries, right? If the bugs are eating all the blueberries, then we're going to be an out-of-work blueberry farmer. So the result of this is blueberries tend to take quite a bit of chemicals. And that's usually in the form of Roundup. You want to know about more about that, Google that. We'll have a workshop on one day. There is a level of Roundup that our bodies can take. The problem is when you see in small traces, it's in small traces in absolutely every single thing we seem to consume. Some more than others. So because blueberries are very high in those chemicals that require them, especially if you're buying them out of season or if you're not buying them locally, you can count on them being sprayed real good prior to consumption. So that would be one. If you were having to pick and choose to buy organic, I recommend the blueberry, and you can Google the Dirty Dozen for more, for the entire list on that too. Helping you decide while making grocery lists and trips what makes the cut and what doesn't, if not everything. I do like to support my local farm. This does help with my allergies. So if I go to the farmer's market and I'm picking up stuff that is grown locally, because not all of it is, and that might include local honey, right? So the bees is pollinating from flower to flower. So if you really suffer this time of year from allergies, local honey, if you really think about it, is just a really great way to help that out, because much like the Flonase that is prescribed, it's changing the chemical structure of the chemical reactions happening within the body that's contained within the skin, right? So buy local when possible, buy organic when possible, and if you need to make tough choices, yield to the Dirty Dozen, and those things are organic, or maybe even cut out, or replaced with something else that has those antioxidants and so on. And we'll do another workshop on that as far as toxic insult and how our body responds to that and so on. So the prep beforehand is soak the oats in a mason jar overnight with berries and water. You can add in some local honey the night before, or you can do it that morning. So this way, in the morning, you come down to your fridge, it's mindless, right? Grab your coffee or your tea or your warm water or your lemon cayenne pepper thing you do, whatever it is. Grab your oats, throw them in the bowl, microwave them for a minute or two. Put in some almond milk. Dairy is bad for you. Put in some almond milk, right? Breakfast is served. I have a mason jar full of sliced almonds sitting on my counter. I always have cinnamon laying around. I don't take more than 5 minutes from end to end before I'm sitting down eating my overnight oats. So this is one thing that we can do, a habit that we can get into over time. If I run out of oats, it's like, oh no, I'm out of oats. Right? Sometimes I get sick of oats and I'll do my Ezekiel bread tomato basil sandwich instead. And that's okay, right? That's fine. We don't want to be a prisoner to the foodstuffs that we choose. But we can put in structures in place that are simple, affordable, and accessible for us to do. Obviously, ideally, fresh strawberries and fresh blueberries are our first pick. We would want to do that. You can order those things, you can put them through the food saver, you can put them in the fridge, and then the rest in the freezer, and then you're freezing your own. The trick is, there's like coconut spray, can spray to help them from getting freezer burned, right? And you can, if you don't want to use the spray, because obviously the spray has a level of chemicals in it, you can use like a pure coconut oil and put it in there to keep them from being freezer burned. That works as well. And everyone put your pens down. This is a podcast. You can listen to it later. So just being present in the moment. So with our blueberries, granted, if we spray it with coconut oil, want to be like, well, you've just ruined the whole entire thing. You may as well be eating cheese pretzel or Taco Bell, right? I actually do like Taco Bell, so, you know, I hate on them with love a little bit. It's bittersweet. So the bean burrito specifically. Anyway, I still suggest that grabbing some blueberries and spraying them with the coconut oil and running them through the food processor, total time 3 to 4 minutes, and that's if you're moving slowly, and tossing them in the freezer is still better than buying whatever you're getting from the grocery store. And it's certainly a lot less expensive too. It brings the food bill down, and you have then these things in your freezer. You start to see your freezer's level full of all this stuff, which really, really comes in handy on how do you go about continuing to eat food that's in season year round, right? Because there's only so many radishes come winter that I'm willing to eat, and so many gourds, and then I'm just kind of over it. I'd like my produce back, you know, that kind of thing. So if we know how to food prep, then we can have the stuff year round. Meats, I really don't cover meats because they have different guidelines and stuff for freezing and so on. But as far as vegetables goes, you're pretty much good, I think, for a good year. And then coconut oil or not so much. Then have a party and cook for your people. All right, so if you add your honey in beforehand, it won't be quite as sweet as if you add it in after. Taking the time to make it local honey. I know they sell it in Zeppies, they sell it at the farmer's market, they sell it all over the place. You can definitely get local honey with ease. Some folks say, I don't know, it's so expensive. Okay, so local honey on average is $3.99. And I don't know about you, but it takes me like 3 solid months to go through an entire jar of honey. So while the honey elsewhere might be 89 cents, which is processed honey, and may not help me with my allergies whatsoever, I might find myself with a copay for my Flonase to deal with the seasonal allergies. You know what I mean? So just kind of looking at it a different way and keeping it real and keeping it realistic. I think most of us can spring $4 on local honey. That's the one good thing that you could do. In seasonal allergy time, a couple of teaspoons a day can go a really long way, right? Okay, so tools. How we're gonna pull off these overnight oats. A mason jar and a steamer for oats. So I have my rice steamer over there. That was $10. They're super inexpensive, but it can also steam vegetables, overnight oats, anything else you like. You could microwave it if you want, like I mentioned earlier, if that's what's a bit more accessible for you. But given the choice between the two, if I have the few extra minutes, I'll come down, I'll make my coffee, I'll put my oats in the steamer, I'll hit go, I'll do a few things, I'll come back, breakfast is ready, I sit down and I eat. Certainly better for me than the microwave. But if it's microwave or bust, nuke them. You know what I'm saying? Right? They do know that the microwave does take away some of the nutrients that go into the food. So it's not as though we don't know these things, but we, I think, have to be realistic and pick and choose our battles a little bit. Keeping it real. All right. So then put oats in dish heat and eat. All right. The about. Vata friends tend to be dry and cold. To help with balance, eat warm, cooked soups and veggies, right? So this really comes in on a cellular level as to how foodstuffs can be medicinal in nature. Disclaimer, I'm not a doctor, right? But we are what we eat. All right, so if you are a pitta friend, we have pasta for our pitta friends. Now, I did want to put something out there that I felt most folks would agree to eat and most folks could, you know, sell to their families and friends, if you will. Like, here's some pasta. It's not healthy or anything. Here you go, right? Because initially I was going to go with quinoa. I was. I'm not going to lie. I was going to do organic brown quinoa. Is that my first pick? 2 thumbs up. Absolutely. Realistically, not everybody wants quinoa. Or you get sick of quinoa. There's only so much you can do. Maybe you mix the quinoa in and go 50% pasta and 50% quinoa, right? You're still 50% closer to where you want to be, and so on. Everything in the video that I show you later for my food prep day was purchased from Aldi, except for the basil. That came from Zeppi's. I walked 2 doors down. I said, "Hey, Joe," and he gave me some basil. So that's nice. Go with the fresh. Oh, I love basil. And I will tell you, goes a long way in reducing the amount of cheese I eat. Not to say I don't eat cheese, because we talked about this, and it's certainly better than the fake stuff with the pretzel, but a basil on a tomato sandwich, you don't need cheese anymore. It's just so incredibly robust in flavor. And once you fall in love with fresh basil, it makes cheese seem like I can't even taste that, you know? So basil is kind of my sub out. If there's something that normally would have cheese, I use basil instead. So with that then, pasta for our pitch of friends, your favorite pasta and or quinoa. You like how I slipped that in? Now, of course, we want to go out to our local farm that we created and pick our fresh green beans right from our backyard. I went with frozen green beans today, right? The zucchini, however, came in fresh. The red onion is fresh. And I suggest cherry tomatoes, but I didn't end up using them. I ended up using a combination of tomatoes on the vine and even some diced tomatoes from a can, right? Because I just wanted a little bit more tomato-y flavor. When it all got done, I'm like, it just needs that tomato-y flavor, and I threw in a can. So again, folks that would say, well, eat fresh tomatoes from the farmer's market or bust, it's like, well, hey, you know, I was halfway there. Half the recipe is fresh tomatoes, half the recipe is a can that I had in the pantry. Now, I do tend to buy higher end tomatoes, right? Because I eat them. They're one of my staples in my diet. I eat so many tomatoes that would be something that I want to buy a little higher quality of. So again, when making those tough decisions at the grocery store, what do I buy? What do I not buy? And so on. If there's something you eat a lot of, that would be something you might want to buy organic, or at least a higher quality of, like not Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so prepping beforehand, this was the Ninja, which is the food dicer and slicer and sent from heaven above. That's mm-hmm. what I can say about my Ninja. And steamed vegetables, which go in the rice cooker, right? Set that on 30 minutes, walk away. Vegetables are steamed. Easy recipe. Any recipe that wants vegetables, you can just cut your vegetables up, throw them in there, add your favorite spice, walk away, you're done. We now have time for vegetables, whereas before we did not. The upside of this as well is this country eats quite a bit of milk and dairy. And milk and dairy, food and meat and dairy, I mean to say. So if we are eating more vegetables, then in all probability, we're eating less meat and dairy, which is good for us on a health-based, right? Which is good for, you know, our physical structure, if that's why we're doing this. Many folks are finding that dairy doesn't necessarily settle with them. Maybe some dairy is okay, but others it's not. It comes to, as well, imported dairy. If you're going to go with dairy, I recommend imported dairy, because the dairy from the cow in the warehouse, A, isn't very nice, and B, is terrible for you. So if we can find a little less dairy, then maybe in our food budget, we can afford a little higher quality dairy, an imported Romano or something that is just so incredibly robust in flavor. Throw some basil in there and you're never gonna want mozzarella from Walmart ever again, right? You'll find that it has no flavor. And so again, these are little cooking tips. So I love cooking, I've always cooked. People are like, oh, you should do a cookbook one day. And you know, I'm like, I don't wanna have to write it down. So this is as close to a cookbook as I'll probably ever get, minus an intern who wants to tackle that project alongside me. So we can put our steamed vegetables in there along with any herbs that you like, whatever your flavors are. Like, I'm really partial to fennel. Bring on the fennel, bring on the basil. Rosemary, not so much. Not crazy about rosemary. Every now and then I'll come across a red potato with rosemary, but that's usually like saturated in butter, and that's probably why I like it. But again, whatever your herbs are, put that stuff in your foodstuffs. Fresh herbs blow away dried herbs. So you're better off getting your herbs delivered with your ugly produce, throwing them through the food processor, and you know, popping them in the freezer so they're available for cooking and easy to do. I don't have a ton of time, and even if I did, I wouldn't spend half a day on food prep. I'd spend maybe an hour a week. So I think most folks have, you wait that long for the pizza to show up, you know? Okay, so store in the food saver. So with that, then we cook the pasta, we coat it in olive oil, and we store it in a large mason jar. So I have so many mason jars, big ones, small ones, medium ones, all kinds of mason jars. Everything goes in the mason jar. Because no air can get in there, the food stays good so much longer. It's also easy just to grab and go. So this particular recipe is to be served cold. It could be heated up if you wanted, but if it were stored in a large mason jar or even a number of small mason jars, you could just grab one and there's lunch, which actually opens up time. Because if you work at like an office job like I did for many years, I would leave the office and I'd like run over to Taco Bell and I wait in the line. And if it was a long line, I was then panicked and stressed. And then I'd get their food and I'd eat that down real quick in my car usually, and then go back to work. And that's not exactly embracing foodstuffs in nutrition, right? There are, going back to the sciencey stuff, there are hormones and chemicals and acids that are introduced based on the environment in which we're eating that either enhance and complement what we're eating or bring it the other way, right? So we want to set ourselves up for success. So if we've done food prep for a day and you just grab your small mason jar and it doesn't even need to be heated up, and there's a place where you can go, maybe like a little grassy field near your office, and get some sunlight, some vitamin D, right, while you enjoy your meal. Get a recyclable lunch bag. I have a little lunch bag that I got, a little Vera Bradley one with little pink flowers all over it. It's super cute. You know, I have my information in there in case I lose it or forget it, but I've had it for years on end. And so I just put my stuff in there, usually throw some produce because, hey, why not? A napkin, a fork, bring it to where I gotta go, eat it, go home. When I don't do this, I end up eating out, right? And on some level, that's okay. I do tend to make good choices when I eat out, but only so much of that can your body do. And again, you don't know, are those organic blueberries or not, you know? If I do eat out, I try and eat responsibly. There's some really nice restaurants popping up. There's this Be Good over on 75th Street. I could just eat there every day. Like, feed me, please. Like, that's what I would do, you know? If I'm here and it just didn't happen for me on food prep day, because I didn't bring lunch today because I was busy working on food prep day. Mm-hmm. So Stanley over the Chinese place will steam vegetables for me and tofu. It's the Buddha delight. He'll put the sauce on the side and just give me some rice, you know, and because I'm not looking to give up Chinese food. Okay, I'm not here to tell you that, right? But I can do better than my old order, my old regular order, and that was the sweet and sour shrimp, which is shrimp breaded, fried, and covered in sugar, right? Can do better. I can do better. And that's now what I crave. I now crave the Buddha delight. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get the Buddha delight from Stanley, right? So that's what you can do. Sauce on the side goes a long way. Those sauces have so much sugar content, and that really attacks our immune system. This is one of the reasons why I said just put your pens down, because I'm going to give you just so much information. This podcast will be up and live tomorrow. You can go home and take notes to your heart's content, right? Okay, so as we move through it, we talked about storing it in a large mason jar, right? Ready to go. That's dinner. Isn't that nice? Like, literally, because the mason jar, without the oxygen getting in there, food stuff tends to stay good for 2, maybe 3, 4 days, right? Especially this particular pasta dish. So if you know Monday's your busy, busy day, then make this on Sunday night, put it in the fridge, and it's ready for dinner the next day, right? If your family likes hot stuff, then heat it up, right? Check. Easy. Maybe some imported Parmesan cheese on top if you're feeling frisky. I went with goat cheese because I was just vibing with that right then. Okay, so seasonings, keeping it simple. Salt, pepper, olive oil. You want to go with a higher quality olive oil. Fresh basil, parsley, minced mint. The minced mint didn't happen for me, right? But I did have, because from now and then I like to bartend a little at my house when I have I had some mint bitters, right, that you would put like in a cocktail. So I threw some of that in and I called it good, right? But I used the fresh basil and I ended up using the dried parsley. So again, do we want these things to be completely fresh? Yeah. But we also want it to be realistic enough that a recipe is followed, which is why I never follow recipes, because I absolutely never have half the stuff that's even on there, and I end up chucking it. It was years before I knew a shallot was just a mild onion, right? If I ever do put up together a cookbook, it'll say mild onion, i.e. shallot, right? Sometimes I think that we get so lost in the details, it's like, oh my God, I don't even know what to do that. Let's just do with macaroni and cheese out of a box in the pantry. So, pantry. I recommend your pantry is filled with your staples of your quinoas, your beans, lentils, tomatoes, tomato sauce, oils, different types of oils, sweet oils, savory oils, things like that. If it's anything that has a picture of food on the front, throw it out. Actually, don't throw it out. Donate it to somebody who would appreciate having that. It's making us all sick. So I don't really have much in my pantry. Everything is either in my refrigerator, on my counter, or in my freezer. And I do have a couple, you know, of the staples that I talked about in the pantry, and that was nice. I grabbed a can of diced tomatoes to throw in the summer pasta that I ended up making yesterday, just because I was feeling a little bit more juicy on that end. Okay, so things about that another day. Tools. Turbo Ninja Food Saver for steamed vegetables in the mason jar. So essentially, if you get all of your zucchini together and you put it through the Ninja and you take some of it for your recipe and the rest of it you divvy it up into two or three different portions, food savers, one in the fridge and two in the freezer, you're now really starting to build up your supply of stuff laying around. And so now we do have fast food. We have fast food sitting in our freezer, which is really nice. Don't microwave in the plastic. Take it out of the plastic and put it in a glass dish. Microwave in glass if you're going to microwave. Or better yet, steamer if you have the time, you know? Just doing the best we can without beating ourselves up over the whole thing. All right, the mix. So this is kind of the do. This is as much direction as I was willing to give you folks here. I wrote, serve cold in a mason jar. Lunch is served. Simple, right? Doesn't have to be hard. And about choosing cooling foods for our pizza friends. As we go through our doshas and talk about that a little bit more deeply, we'll talk about why some of these foodstuffs would have made the top for this particular recipe. Okay? All right, flipping it over. Turn up the heat, chili. I love some chili. There's rumors of a chili cook-off coming to town soon. I might put my name in the hat. It's all about time with chili. Gotta put in the time, gotta let it sit. Which is why the mason jars work really, really nicely. So I feel that the secret to good chili is mixing different types of beans. I've provided a list of some of the beans that I tend to use, but you can use whatever you want. But I think that there's a consistency factor there that folks tend to enjoy of having varied consistency within their foodstuffs that make it a little bit more experiential and yummy and delicious to do. So dinner for our kafa friends with chili. Notice it's turn up the heat chili, not as much comfort food chili. There's some spice going on in here for our kafa friends. Heat things up, some tapas. I have light kidney beans and dark kidney beans, and maybe just one can of chickpeas, not a ton, maybe just one. I've been known to throw black beans in there. Like really, it's whatever I had in the pantry, to be entirely and completely honest with you. Whatever was in there kind of goes in, and onion, however much or little as you like. Prep beforehand, steam all the ingredients in a rice cooker, store in large mason jar. Or you can put it in a giant crock pot, or you can put it in a giant crock dish and let it cook all day, right? So sometimes I'll make chili on food prep day, and the first thing I do is I put that chili on the stove and I just let her go. Like she just sits there all day while I do these other things, whatever it is. And then that's the last thing to come off. But you know, that's, again, you've got to babysit chili, so sometimes it doesn't make the cut. Whereas a crock pot or a steamer, it's kind of one and done and you can move on with life now. Seasonings that I've chosen, onion, garlic, black pepper, ginger, just a smidge, not a lot. It's that little hidden flavor in the background. It's super good for inflammation. This is another way just to get those nutrients in that are so good for our bodies. Some cayenne pepper and some chili pepper, or whatever mix you like. If there's a mix out there that you like, or you've got Ma's recipe that you grew up with that, right? These are just some things that I threw out there for you. I know some people don't eat onion and garlic. That's fine. Switch it out for something different then, right? Tools, a large mason jar and a rice cooker. So again, I tried to make every one of these recipes include those three things over there. The food saver, the Ninja, and the rice cooker. Simple, easy. There's a microwave in the back. If I was feeling frisky to heat up those noodles, I would. Okay? The mix. Heat meat. Easy. About, let's get motivated with some spice. So as we move through our Ayurveda conversation, we're going to talk about how kapha friends can really benefit from tapas, from heat, and this is why the recommendation is things like chili peppers and that sort of thing. Let's get up off the sofa and let's get moving, let's get going, right? And so this is something that we would do for foodstuffs. And if folks are like, I don't know if I believe that, do you believe that chicken and dumplings is nice comfort food? You know, there's something to it. So even though I don't eat meat, when I did, if I got chicken and dumplings, I mean, I wasn't going out to the gym right after that. I was probably curling up next to my puppy in my blanket and turning on the fireplace and seeing what's on TV, you know? So this food stuff does impact us. And whether it is we consider it on a cellular level in the chemical reaction happening within the body, or whether we consider it on the hormones that are triggered either based by the ingredients of the food or even based by the memories and the recollections and the associations of the food, right? Or X, any other number of reasons. At the end of it, food definitely drives our disposition, and that breaks down to our doshas, right? So if we're in balance, then there's foods that we can eat to enjoy that balance. And if we're out of balance, then there's foods that we can eat to help get us in balance. And that's really the whole goal. And this is why it's Food Prep Day, the Ayurvedic way. All right, and then to bring home is another dosha quiz. I know you guys have probably seen this in training here with me before. I really like this one, so I tend to go back to it. And I take it from time to time again and again. I take it when I'm stressed out. I take it when I'm super tired. I take it when I'm really happy. I take it when I'm feeling balanced. I take it in the spring, the summer, the fall, and winter. I keep an eye on things. It helps remind me why I want to take the time to get those organic blueberries. You know, it's the small thing, these little habits that I can get into to help myself stay in balance. So as a Pitta Scorpio, right, I can definitely say that it's important that I keep an eye on my constitution, my dosha. And when out of balance, that doesn't look so good. Not to myself and not to those around me. So I make it a priority to make sure that I'm feeding my dosha. And, you know, I said once, and maybe you've heard me say this before, but I said this once to my coach at the time, Kim Wade. She's amazing. She's the one who introduced me to Ayurveda and all that I know about it. I said, I love the work. I love the results. I love to create. I love to make. This brings me joy. But I'm getting tired, and I find either I'm completely robust with energy or I'm totally wiped out and exhausted. There's not a lot of middle ground there, and I would like more time of just play, which is Vata. It's more along the lines of the Vata characteristics, and we're going to go over that in our presentation today as well. And she said to me, well, if you want more Vata in your life, because it's more playfulness, right? Less workhorse, more playfulness. She said, use your Pitta to do it. I thought, oh, my Pitta can do anything she wants to do, right? Very driven. But if the idea is a little less drive and a little more play, then I found myself through different foodstuffs really closing the gap on that. You know, I think when I first took this quiz, I was like 90% Pitta. And it was like 8 or 9% Vata and maybe 1% kapha, if even that. It was like nothing. And that's not good. That doesn't suggest balance. You know, that's stressful for me. That's stressful for those around me. Things like that. So try and consider the things in your life that are working for you and the things in your life that are not working for you, and keep it about you. Don't go try and fix anybody else. But I will say that folks in my sphere have seen a closing of the gap of this Pitta Scorpio disposition to a little bit more balanced and happier and joyful, and are asking, hey, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm eating more whole foods. I'm like not eating out as much. And if I do, you know, it's maybe sushi with a friend, and I'm selective in my choice there. You know, I'm not getting like the tempura, I'm not getting the fried stuff, and I'm not getting the cheese drizzle on there anymore. Things like that. It really, really makes a big difference in the overall scene. Does that make sense? Okay, so our next phase of this particular lesson will be the doshas themselves.
and we'll go over that in just a moment.